Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath. I feel like a guest speaker more than a member. It's been such a long time. As many of you may or may not know, we've actually been dedicating our time and resources, my family, to help the Decker Church with the loss of Jay Prawl. That was a huge, huge loss to that little church. So we've decided to really help out that little church. Still loving the other two churches and missing you guys tremendously. So when Nelson gives me the opportunity, and the elders, of course, to come to preach to one of our churches, I'm happy to say yes to that because it's one blessing, and I get to see you guys. And I don't feel too guilty for leaving Deckard. When there's only 8 people there, 1 people missing, you can imagine how much you can really tell. 1 person missing here, you can't miss it as much. But pray for that little church, pray for its members, and for that community. And I will also bring them your prayers and their prayers to you as well with the radio station. I'm so happy for that. I hear Nelson about it, and that's been a blessing. When he told me about it, I'm like, oh, wow. You have now Tullahoma Radio, Murfreesboro. So it's been a wonderful year. It's been stressful with health issues, but you know what? The Lord is coming soon, so I'm just going to leave all in God's holy hands. And I was talking to some church members earlier that the last thing I want to do is have another back surgery, so I'm just going to wait for the Lord to come because I truly believe he's going to come very, very soon, and he's going to give me a brand new spine, and I don't have to go through surgery. So praise the Lord for that. So we read this morning, I don't know how Paul can say to us to rejoice always. Can you imagine that? To rejoice always. He doesn't say rejoice when you're having a good time or, you know, well, rejoice every other day. But if you're having troubles, don't rejoice. He's not saying that. He says to rejoice when? Always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that's been kind of hard. I don't know about you, but it is very hard to give thanks when you're going through trials. I don't know when was the last time you thanked God when you lost your job or you had back pain. But he says for us to be thankful in all circumstances, and for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will is for us to thank him in everything. And this is what Paul says to us. And I want to see why he would say that to us and what would make him an authority to give us such instructions. J.K. Gressett wrote about a man named Samuel S. Gall who settled on a farm in Arizona, in the Arizona desert, with his wife and children. One night, a fierce desert storm struck with rain, hail, and high winds. At daybreak, feeling sick and fearing what he might find, Samuel went to survey his loss. The hail had beaten the garden and truck patch into the ground. The house was partially unroofed. The hen house had blown away and dead chickens were scattered about. Destruction and devastation were everywhere. While standing dazed, evaluating the mess and wondering about the future, he heard a stirring in the lumber pile that was the remains of the hen house. A rooster was climbing up through the debris. He didn't stop climbing until he mounted the highest board in the pile. That old rooster was dripping wet, and most of his feathers were blown away. But as the sun came over the eastern horizon, he flapped his bony wings and proudly crowed. That old wet bare rooster could still crow when he saw the morning sun. And like the rooster, our world may be falling apart. We hear constantly bad news. I refuse to listen to the news in the weekends. And only on the mornings on my way to work because I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to see anything else. And sometimes I don't even go through that. But everything is falling apart. And we have lost a lot. But if we trust in God, we'll be able to see the light of God's goodness, pick ourselves out of the rubble, and sing the Lord's praises. You see, it's easy to praise God when things are good. Good health, work, home, family. But how can we praise him when things go from bad to worse? How can we praise and be thankful when we have lost our jobs, our health? How can we sing when our hearts are broken, betrayed, and hurting? And how could Paul tell us to rejoice in everything and continually to give thanks to God? Everything? How can he ask us such a thing? I don't know about you, it's very hard for me to be thankful when things are going bad, to have praise songs in my heart when I'm hurting, when I'm being betrayed by people that we love, or when you lose your job, or I have to admit, last week when I was in pain in bed because of my back not letting me even stand. So that was not a good time. I couldn't go to church. For me, that was not a good opportunity for praise. So how can God, through Paul, tell me to be thankful? But you know what? I'm happy that we have our Bibles. And I'm happy for Luke, because he knew the Apostle Paul, and he knew what he went through. So I can't see why Paul can tell us to rejoice in everything through one of his incidents that I want to share with you this morning. I want to ask you to open your Bibles in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts 16, we're going to start with verses 11 through 15. I'm sorry about that. Acts 16, starting verse 11. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight from Samothrace. And the next day we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district was Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Now, I believe with all my heart that that was a great day for Paul and Silas. What do you think? It was a Sabbath. They went out. Beautiful day. They encountered some women, they started praying, and, you know, women came, they started talking to them, and one and her whole household accepted the Lord. That was an awesome day. And they stayed there, and they shared times together. I don't know about you, but I would be praising God that day. That Sabbath was a high Sabbath in many, many ways. But then, let's see what happens just the following day. We continue on verse 16. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Wow. Just the following day, after having a great Sabbath, this poor Paul and Silas, they met a girl that just made their lives a little hard. And when a few days of her just screaming. I mean, what she was saying was right, right? These were the servants of the God of the Most High. But they didn't want to be associated with somebody that was from the spirit. And it got to the point where Paul said, "That's it. I've had enough with you. In Jesus' name, I command you to get out." And the spirit came out. This girl was now free. She had been a slave for how many years, we don't know. But she was being used by people to make money. We don't know how that evil spirit was treating her, but I'm fairly sure she wasn't happy about that. But yet, instead of the crowd rejoicing that there was one soul free, they got angry for doing such a thing. And they dragged Paul and Silas. Verse 20 says that they brought him before the magistrate and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar." All they did was one good thing. Up to now, we had not heard anything bad, right? All they were doing was preaching, talking. Nobody was complaining. But all of a sudden, the city was in an uproar. And by abdicating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet into the stocks. Okay, great Sabbath, awesome opportunity, baptismal, awesome. A few days later, they've been flogged, beaten for doing something good, and now being thrown. They were tried. They were persecuted, tried, and executed all at the same time. There was just no good trial there. The fact that they didn't even ask them anything, they just took this other guy's word for it. They're troublemakers. They're Jews. Those are the two words, I guess, that were the magic keywords to throw somebody into prison. No questions asked. Would you be praising God for that? Would you be praising God when you were hurting, beaten for no good reason? How would you be feeling at that time? You're put in prison. So it's not bad enough that they misrepresent you. They lied about you. They beat you. And because there's children here, I'm not even going to tell you exactly what a flogging is, because it is not the best thing to have. I would suggest you go and check out what it means in back time to be flogged. It was a horrible, horrible ordeal that these men went through. And they weren't taken afterwards to be cleaned and then put in jail. They were bloody, beaten, and then put in the inner part of a dungeon that was in the grossest place you can imagine. The worst prison that we have today is a palace compared to the dungeon that Paul and Silas was put in. And they were chained in a form that they couldn't even lay down, barely sit. Imagine that. Imagine how you would feel. They were doing God's work, and now they're in prison for doing so. Where was God? Why did God allow this to happen to them? I know that I would be thinking that. Hurting, complaining, asking maybe for a doctor or two, or at least some water to clean. Something. But singing and praising would not have been something that would be coming out of my mouth. But on verse 25, as I said, about midnight, all day they've been beaten, tired, probably not eating any food. But verse 25, as I said, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Here they are, and they just started to pray and to sing. I love what Ellen White wrote in the books of Acts, pages 213 and 214, says that the apostles suffered extreme torture because of the painful position in which they were left, but they did not murmur. Instead, in the utter darkness and desolation of the dungeon, they encouraged each other by words of prayer and sang praises to God because they were found worthy to suffer suffer shame for his sake. Their hearts were cheered by a deep and earnest love for the cause of their Redeemer. Paul thought of the persecution he had been instrumental in bringing upon the disciples of Christ, and he rejoiced that his eyes had been opened to see and his heart to feel the power of the glorious truth which once he despised. With astonishment, the other prisoners heard the sounds of prayer and singing issuing from the inner prison. They had been accustomed to hear shrieks and moans, cursing and swearing, breaking the silence of the night. But never before had they heard words of prayer and praise ascending from that gloomy cell, guards and prisoners marveled and asked themselves, who are these men who, cold, hungry, and tortured, could yet rejoice? What a testimony in that prison, and what a testimony to me, because you know what? If Paul can do it, so can I. If they did not think about their suffering, they weren't thinking about their pain, but all they were thinking is like, if I am seen worthy to suffer for my Lord Jesus, so be it. Praise the Lord. That's what was coming out of their lips. They didn't mind. And the prisoners around them, the guards, what a testimony. Who are these men that they can just do that? But what happens next is, for me, a miracle in its own as well. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, everyone's chain came loose. Now, I have looked and looked around to see where in the world does an earthquake have the ability to open doors and the chains to come loose. I know that when there's earthquakes, the earth shakes, walls come down, roofs comes down, everything collapses, don't they? They tend to collapse in or out, people tend to run. But doors opening? That's kind of weird, wouldn't it be? The walls didn't fall. Only the doors open, and the chains just came off. I don't know what key they used that on. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of prisoners out there that wish for an earthquake like that. But that's not happening anytime soon, because this one was a different one. And now if I were the prisoners there, with everything going on, those few seconds, the earth is moving, it shouldn't move, I'm running out of here. And I can't, because now the chains are done and the doors are open. There's nothing stopping me. At least that's what I think they would have probably thought. I would have thought that. And even the guard thought that that's what they did, because we read that with all that, the jailer woke up. And when he saw that the prison doors were open, which kind of strikes me, there was an earthquake and that didn't wake him up. But something else woke him up. And he saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Paul's and Silas' influence in that cell had even the prisoners not even thinking about running away. They all stayed there. Not one escaped. But Paul, and the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At about an hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, no longer in a dungeon, set a meal for them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Brothers and sisters, we don't know why we have to go through bad things, why we have to suffer, why bad things happen to good people, we don't know. But all I can tell you is that I'm going to be like Paul, who in Romans 8:28 said that God works all things for the good of those who love him. In the book Darkness Before Dawn, Ellen White wrote, "Though enemies may thrust them into prison, yet dungeon walls cannot cut off the communication between their souls and Christ. One who sees their every weakness, who is acquainted with every trial, is above all earthly powers. And angels will come to them in lonely cells, bringing light and peace from heaven. The prison will be as a palace, for the rich in faith dwell there, and the gloomy walls will be lighted up with heavenly light, as when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises at midnight in the Philippian dungeon." I pray that I can be like Paul and Silas. I pray that I can be able to pray and praise and be thankful, regardless of the circumstances that I come across. It is my prayer that I can remember this story, and I thank God for putting that story in his love letter because I can then understand why Paul was able to tell me to rejoice every time in everything and to pray continually and to be thankful for all circumstances because he knew what it was to be suffering for the Lord. And yet, he was praising God and still being a witness for him. May we be like him, you know, be able to witness to those around us that when they see us suffering, hurting, but they can still see the peace of Jesus through us, they'll say, why, how? And then we can testify and hopefully bring many people to Jesus' feet, even if we have to go through hard times. I want you to think about if that's how you want to live your life. That next time you go through a hard time, that you will take a moment to pray and thank God and praise him out loud. Praise God out loud. That feels good. It definitely does. I know that when I've done it, it just clears the air. I don't know why it does it, but it works so well. We're going to be watching a video. And at the end of it, if it is your prayer that you want to be like Paul and Silas and ask the Lord to give you the opportunity, the ability to praise and pray and be thankful, no matter what the circumstances that come through your life, I ask that you stand.